or something like that.
2 our time would be early for you, huh?
Right, it'd be 1 o'clock.
Is that too early for you?
I guess not. Preferably 2.
Preferably 2, that would be fine here. All right, the problem is Yoko has to leave here Thursday at 3:45.
Well, beg your pardon?
It's up to you.
Well, let's make it 1 o'clock then.
One.
And that's 2 o'clock your time.
Right.
So we'll just get it together then.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, thanks very much.
All right.
Bye. Trip, you know.
Huh.
Like, you should start a church.
Well, I think, you know, everybody has sort of like a church within their soul or whatever, you know.
Right, right.
It's very dangerous to sort of start another sort of image thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be, everybody has to have their own bag in a way, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Of course, we sort of share a bag too and all that.
Yeah.
But I really think
with approximately infinite universe type things, or you know, let's
well,
have some predictions.
You know, that's just a pebble in a sort of huge beach or something. You know, it's just sort of like, but every pebble counts at the same time.
Uh-huh. Well, it's something. It's making a little waves, at least. Another question that we were kind of curious about was how much of what is in the album, you know, do you speak for yourself, or and how much do you speak for the people around you, you know, the people in the country and the world?
Well, you see
is it just all like one?
You know, well, you see, I can tune into people's pain, you know, anybody, I think, in a way, because we're all human, you know?
Right.
And so the material that I used, the emotion that's there is mine, but the material that I used is not necessarily mine, you know, like if people ask me things like, were your parents divorced, you know, because I can sing about
right.
parents being divorced and all that, and they're not divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you throw ashtrays? But I don't. Because, probably because I'm a repressive, or, you know, or I come from a generation where you just didn't do things like that if you're a woman, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's necessarily good, but I mean, I just don't. So those details aren't right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you, you know, if you try to take it autobiographically,
right,
it's not
right.
there. But,
it's just not going to work.
I think, as a whole, you know, it's sort of, it's like a world that, that's sort of like an emotion, you know, one big emotion, and, I think that's like, a thing that we share, you know, it's like an injection, you know,
mm-hmm.
of emotion, I think.
Right. The, which kind of leads around to how there are certain things that a lot of people, most people recognize as common human emotions, you know, the pain and you know, the joys and stuff of life, but the particulars, you know, the way of living and subjecting oneself to the pain and which kinds to face, how do you require, I mean, you personally, do you require a way of identifying with other material ways of facing the pain, or is it just that general emotion that you've got to get into, and then you feel that you know what it's like, no matter what causes the pain? I don't know if that's very clear.
You know, it's what you said before, you know, it's reminding me, you know, about the embarrassment and all that, you know, like some people are too embarrassed to listen to them.
Right, right.
But it embarrass the engineers and embarrass the musicians and embarrass, you know, just everybody in the studio when we were making. For
really?
Instance. Well, some songs, and like What a Bastard the World Is.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah, right.
When I was shouting, "You jerk, you bastard," and all that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because people around me who were working were mostly men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all thinking about their wives, so I don't know what, but you know, they're all feeling guilty or something.
Right.
And also, well, you know, John was saying, "Well, look, I don't leave you at night or anything ever." And
yeah, what's the big idea?
You might think it's about me, you know, that I'm a horrible husband or something. And of course, you know, we just have to take that chance, you know.
Right.
And so, in a way, well, I dedicated the album to John because, well, that was his donation in a way. You know, he had to sort of overcome that emotion of. Or, you know, or pain
right.
of taking that risk, you know, that maybe people might think that it's John, which it obviously isn't,
right.
and all that. But, we went through a sort of a very sort of intense scene of making the music, you know,
mm-hmm.
like all the musicians were, it was very difficult for them to get used to me shouting at men, you know?
Right.
And it was just, we had to sing it, like, you know, one night sing it, and then we remix it and all that, so we had to listen to it, you know, like, several times, you know?
That must have been a scene, you know? I mean, really having it drilled into their heads.
But then, you know, right, you know, like, but then they started to really understand, you know, what I was trying to do. And the session took about a month or something, but in the beginning, you know, they didn't know where they stood, and in a way, they were sort of a bit suspicious of what they were getting into and all that.
Yeah, maybe even, like, cynical and stuff.
Right,
like
but then, you know, they really got into it, and they really tuned in, and we all tuned in together, and, you know, grooved together, you know?
Yeah, that's fine.
It was really good that way.
Kind of starts that way in just about everything, though. You know, it's like slow, and everybody kind of feels each other out. And if there's something there, you latch onto it, and it looks good, and it feels good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
A question about Catman. That's a fun Catman.
Yes.
That's a fun song.
Oh, thank you.
What? Who is Catman? Is he alive? Is he real?
Well, it might be you. You know.
I see.
And I mean, you know, that old game that. Men play, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like saying, well, you know, you're not going to be young forever, so why don't you know,
right.
and all that kind of thing, and I was sort of playing the same game back to you to see how you feel, you know?
Right. neat.
But as a whole, you know, for instance, Catman is another one too, but Yang,
yeah.
All my sort of friends thought that it was about them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny, and John was saying, "Is that about me?" You know. I said, "No, of course not. What are you talking about?" And I think all men have that kind of guilt in them, you know.
Right. Well, that's interesting. That places the guilt of society on man's shoulders, you know. And that leaves women free to perhaps grow in a different way without guilt.
I think we just have to really sort of, you know, not only just, it's just sort of hitting men and sort of telling them that they're jerks is not going to help, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have to somehow free them from their guilt complex as well. And that's very sort of important.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal task.
But just the society, you know, was so wrong, you know? And we were all born in sort of like a perverted society or something. And,
really?
And got perverted as a result of that. And so each one of us, us as our own perversion, you know?
Right. It's so, you know, it's weird. Like for me, I feel so, you know, pro-liberation, you know, and yet there are times when I catch myself just being, you know, a bastard too. fortunately, I catch myself. And, you know, I can stop it or laugh at it or get rid of it or something.
Yeah.
But there's so many different ways, so many... so often, you know, you find yourself in a situation where, not that perhaps I don't want to be like that, you know, but I'm pushed into it. All of a sudden I find myself, people around me expecting me to behave in a chauvinist fashion, you know. And even if I don't complete the action, you know, I'm guilty of the act, you know, by implication. I'm a man, right?
You see, it's probably just as hard for men to try not to act male chauvinist.
Oh, yeah.
Because society almost, you know, sort of forced them to being male
really?
Chauvinist.
Like I say, you don't even have to do it, you know, you're guilty before you
right,
do.
I mean, you know, the society's there, you know, all set up for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have to understand that it's difficult for us, just as difficult for us, to assert ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
And to be straight and be human, you know? To be ourselves. It's very difficult. It's easier to compromise and just sort of...
fall back.
Right. And be loved for it. You know?
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah.
Right, you get all kinds of positive reinforcement from being normal, from following all the little paths and playing with dolls and toy soldiers and, you know, and growing up that way. Yet you get little or nothing but sitting out in the cold for trying something something good and equal. Side question.
Yes.
How about kid power?
About
kid? Kid power, you know?
Oh, yes. You know that the song called I Felt Like Smashing My
Face in the Plexiglass
Window?
Right.
That was, I mean, it meant it as the first child power song, you know, for me. You know?
Right.
And I was going to name it, for the first title was Child Power.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, it's a bit more sort of ballad or, you know, poetry rather than a crusading song, so I put that title. But I thought this might just help to bring awareness among the adults, you know, about what their children are going through now, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, they're blamed for smashing telephone booths and all that. But, I mean, why do they do that, you know?
Yeah.
And things like that. And I'm really into that, you know?
Yeah. Something's going on with our telephone.
I don't know. Well, it's not me.
Let's see. Kite song?
Kite song, okay. Well, kite song is like a diary poem, you know?
Yeah.
But,
just a day in the life?
Right. Well, I think people do go through that kind of a situation, you know, where you were holding on to things, you know.
Right.
And then you gradually learn not to.
Right. Right. Standing in the world. Anything that pops into your head, feel free to lay it on me.
Okay, pardon?
Anything that pops into your mind, just feel free to lay it on me. I don't want to...
Winter Song was written when we went... I thought, you know, those anecdotes might just be interesting.
Yeah, they would.
But we were in a friend's farmhouse up for the weekend while we were coming home. Oh, well, Winter Song I wrote in the farmhouse, actually. So it talks about farmhouse and really is, it was a farmhouse.
You wrote it there, or just...
Yes, I wrote it there in the song.
Wow.
And then on our way home, I Want My Love to Rest Tonight was, you know, we were in a car and John was getting tired and he was sleeping on my lap, you know.
Right.
And then I suddenly thought of that song and I had to write it. You know, I had to very carefully pick up sort of like a paper bag or something that was there and just wrote it on that.
It had to be a very quiet song.
Yes, naturally it came up.
Good. Good. What about, I Have a Woman Inside My Soul?
That was, I wrote it, that's one song I wrote in the spring of 1972,
mm-hmm.
last year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, that wasn't in the car, too. I don't know, somehow I get ideas in the car, or it's easy to write, you know.
Well, I do that, too.
Yeah, well, and
surprisingly
that was on our way back to New York, too, from a weekend trip.
Mm-hmm.
Just wrote it. And then the thing is, I later, when we were recording, I changed the whole tune, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The melody
changed,
and the chords.
Oh, neat.
That, you know, that sort of like, it's not a statement song or anything.
No.
It's just, an emotion.
And Now or Never is kind of, how should we say, maybe a summary?
Yes, well, you see, that could have been not to the people of America, but to the people of the world or something.
Sure.
It's a universal thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, that's a song that I wrote just before the election. It was, you know... when you write a song like that, it's very dangerous because the more pertinent it is to the particular situation, you know,
mm-hmm.
becomes less pertinent later, you know what I mean?
Like, Right.
Because
it might lose its
the situation is rapidly changing, etc.
Right.
So, but still, I think it has a lot of things in it that could apply to any situation, really, politically.
Right. What do you think about abortion being legalized?
Oh, that's great. You know,
mm-hmm.
but I've heard that the state still has some control over it. You know.
The federal law isn't going to hold.
The penal code and all that. In other words, like, you're not supposed to have an abortion after 3 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it is dangerous to have an abortion after 3 months, probably in most cases. But it should not be something that a government should decide, but it should be something between the woman and the doctor. You know,
right,
decide.
Exactly.
And the doctor can give a very sound sort of advice on that, supposedly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a woman it should not be on the legal court, you know?
Right, exactly.
And the legal court is sort of like, it's really silly, you know, to do that, because that means that if they have that power to decide what women should do after 3 months, etc., they have a certain control of the birth control situation, and therefore that they can use that later, you know?
Yeah, well, that's controlling somebody's life. I mean, it's worse than a draft, I'll tell you.
So it still isn't, the kind of legal birth control that we women want, really, you know?
Yeah.
It should be freer, really.
Yeah, that's very true. Yes. a side question. Did you get the Triad guides?
Yes, that's
did
beautiful.
You?
Yeah? Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. It seems like a beautiful station, you know? I mean, we need a station like that to sort of... instead of just always playing top 10 and...
Right, the format.
You know,
stuff.
The routine thing, you know? People need to communicate on a sort of higher level, I think. Don't you?
Right, yes. You know, we started the thing to just, you know, like, to get something really weird on. And we started, like, and we at every turn we've been surprised by how people respond to the program.
Well, because there's a desperate need, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, we're surprised at what kind of a need there is. I mean, we thought that there weren't as many people out there that really were, you know, going beyond what was being put out in front of them, you know. And we were just constantly amazed at people calling up and writing letters and, you know, offering their services to do things and,
Life is a constant amazement.
Right? Really?
It's nice, though. You know, that's the only reason why we can just barely stand it, you know.
It's so nice I can't stand it anymore.
But, well, you know, it's like we have to sort of probably communicate on a multi-level, you know.
Right.
Because we are multi-level in a way, you know, all of us.
Sure.
So it's just, when it gets so simplistic, you know, it just gets a bit frightening, you know?
This
that's,
is
that's another reason. People, the main criticism I had about this record is that it shouldn't have been a double album. Of course,
there's
know,
maybe too much at once.
I don't know what it is, but you see, all the songs sort of have, you know, they all have connection, you know, and it was like a one world, so I really had to put it out like that, you know. And, of course, commercially, it really cuts the sales into half. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I had to, you know, really think of it, you know, from that angle, because I wanted to communicate a very large audience, you know.
Right, exactly.
But I just thought, well, you know, I could probably get away with it.
Sure.
Because, you see, there's a certain sort of line where, you know, you have to think whether you're going to compromise or not, you know? And I just didn't think that compromise was worth it, you know?
Right. The compromise of cutting it in half?
Right.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, there's a point to that, though. I mean, perhaps one record would go that much farther.
Yeah.
You know, the choice was yours, right?
And that was a big choice, you know, sort of like a
I believe
big
it.
Problem, you know. And
I can see you sitting for a few nights and thinking about that one.
Oh, everybody was, you know, they were all concerned, you know.
Yeah.
They were saying, while we were recording, you know, well, when I started to record, I had tons of sort of songs in sort of a briefcase that I, you know, that was never exposed and that, you know. And I thought, well, you know, it's about time that I make a record and really get these things out of the way. So,
right.
You know, I wouldn't have nightmares about it and all that.
So you decided afterwards the number and all that?
Well, it ended up that I still have those tons of songs in my briefcase, you know, that I, you know, like, I didn't touch that at all.
Right.
I have a Woman in My Soul and Song for John that I made in 1967, and Now and Never Move On Fast, which I made as a single, you know, Madison Square Garden. Around that time, I made approximately Infinite Universe. So those are the only songs I had when I started to record.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, aside of the old songs in the briefcase, which I didn't put in this record anyway. And all the other songs were songs that were written while I was recording. So every day there was a new song again, you know, and people started to get worried, you know, like, there was, by the time we finished enough for a single album, you know. And then I was still going on, right? Every day I say, well, look, I have another song for tomorrow. And I say, well, we can't include all this, so what are you going to do about it? And everybody out there on our team, you know, like,
right.
By the way, you're not going to cut Catman, are you? You're not going to drop What a Bass in the World, is, are you? You know, something like that.
Right.
And then finally I decided to put everything in, so.
What the hell?
Right.
That's good. You know.
But, I mean, still, I think, well, everything's not worth because, not right, because, finally, I came to a point where, when I was finishing the double side, you know, and enough for triple, and then people started saying, well, you're not going to make a triple, are you? they were finally sort of
totally
denying the idea
out.
It's going to be double.
Yeah.
And then I had to really decide, you know, that I had to really make up my mind, you know, like, am I going to just go on recording or am I going to put it up?
Right.
You know, like you get tipped off, you know. Like.
You get caught up in it.
Yeah.
Next time you'll know, though, you know, if you want to put out a double, just
threaten them with a triple, and they'll be.
That's a good way.
Sure. Let's see. Humma.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, also, is winter here to stay? You know.
Beg pardon?
Is winter here to stay?
Oh yeah, right.
That was like after we recorded just about everything, except looking over from my hotel window, which I haven't made yet. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And is winter here to stay? And I thought, oh my God, I'm gonna. Just chuck all my songs, you know, that we recorded and start from here. You know. That's how much I sort of like the idea of going back to freestyle singing.
Yeah.
Though the backing is not freestyle, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
And then in the very last moment, when everything was remixed and the Elephant's Memory went out to West Coast for some concert or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking up from my hotel window,
mm-hmm.
and I said I'm going to include it and everything. What another? What are you going to do? But so I did with the piano, you know,
right.
By myself.
Very nice indeed, too, by the way.
And but I thought, you know, because that's a song that relates to the other songs too, so I thought I'm not going to miss that one.
Right. It's almost like you just can't stop adding to it. That was one of the things that that I was gonna. I guess that first, you know, opening statement was about. It's like when an artist finishes something, something like a record album. It's not really finished until it's over in your mind, you know, and you know maybe it's still going on, and here the disc is sitting, in people's stores already, and you've got things that you want to add to it. And, boy, you know,
yeah,
this is no way.
Amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it was a good time to stop.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And
well, there's more. Listen, you've got a whole suitcase full of songs, yes.
I know, but you see, it's sort of like I think because I'm changing too and all that.
Yeah.
And it's sort of. If I'm going to do a recording again, you know, I want to do new songs.
Right.
So it's sort of, it's always there, you know.
You know what you ought to do is you ought to find somebody who you think is where you were when those songs in the suitcase happened, and then have them record it.
Probably.
Might be interesting.
That might just happen much later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they would, the songs might just come out as. I mean, that's a big change, you know, from the original one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I really think that rock is a very exciting form, you know?
The music, making records like?
Oh, yeah, well, rock form, you know, it's very exciting.
Oh, yes, right.
And also that... the way Elephants did it was really good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very, very tight.
They really got into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, we started with a song for John.
Yeah.
And that sort of, they were frightened, I think, you know, because they didn't know what kind of album it's going to be.
Yeah.
First of all, when they came to studio, we just called them and said, all right, this is a session, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Came to studio. Some of them didn't even know it's going to be my album. I think they just sort of assumed that it would be John's.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then Song for John is, because you see, they're a rock group, and they do very heavy stuff, and they're very good, you know.
Right.
So they're sort of opinionated, too, you see.
Yeah, they know it's heavy.
Yeah, and so when I started Song for John, you know, like they didn't know if it's going to be Japanese nightclub stuff, you know, or if it was on. They were a bit sort of shaky, I think.
Yeah.
And I was saying, well, look, this is just to start off with, you know. And then when we started to record Chapman, you know.
That was second? Did that next, or?
Let's see, Silver John. Yeah, right. I think Chapman was second. Maybe Approximately Infinite Universe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. No, I don't think so. It was Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Oh, I know. No, that's not. Song for John, What a Mess. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That they enjoyed it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Catman. And by the time we did Catman, they really got into that.
And then it was.
And from then on, they just, you know, sort of. I guess sense that they had trust in the whole thing. You know.
Right. I guess that's what you got to build that up, right? You know. Like
yeah,
that.
You know, because see, if you're just sort of coming on like, all right, these are my songs, and you better do it, and
yeah.
You know, just doing it, just session man or whatever. You know, you can't treat them like that.
No, you get exactly nowhere.
You have to really like cook it together, you know.
Right, right. How much did you arrange the stuff? Did they get into that at all?
Well, you see.
How far did it?
What
did they
I
get
did
into
was,
it?
At home, I would write everything on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
We had the lyrics and the chords are there.
Mm.
And also, when I get there, I play it on the piano and show it how it should be.
Right. So, you know, it's your whole thing. Then, right?
And the lyrics and all that, too. Sometimes, like a solo thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When they do a solo, like the sax solo or a guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
Or a piano solo. All very, you know, they did brilliant stuff. But, sometimes I would say, well, look, just do something here, you know.
Yeah.
And then do it, and I would say, well, look, no, you can do it better, you know. And,
right.
Or, like, from what they did, I would start to say, well, look, maybe the notes should be like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that sense like cooking, in a way. So, in a way, it's like producing a record, not writing. The writing part is, you know, like the melody and the chord and the lyrics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That part is finished at home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, producing a record is like being a director of
film.
Play.
Yeah.
Or film, you know.
Yeah.
You come up, you know, you come with a certain idea, you know,
mm-hmm.
to the studio, right?
Right.
But if something accidentally happens that's good, you pick it up immediately.
Yeah, you leave it in.
That's, you know, like in filming too, you know, you try to get the best out of the actor, right?
Right.
And when he does something that's good, like, you know, scratch his head or something, you're not going to cut it, you know, you're going to let it go, you know?
Exactly.
Even if you didn't have that in your mind when you started off, you know?
Right.
And it's close to, like, Stanislavski method, you know,
mm-hmm.
in acting or something that
right.
you use in producing music, I think. And in a way, you know, I'm sure that there's still some composers in the classical field and especially who really believe in, you know, sort of writing note by note.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But most rock musicians, I'm not saying about elephants. Elephants are very sort of, well-informed as well, but
mm-hmm.
so probably they can read scores. I don't know. I never, you know, asked them.
Right, right.
But most rock musicians can't even sort of read notes, you know.
Right.
Musical scores. And that's all right. That's good. It's a whole different kind of
it's a different
music
band.
Making,
yeah.
you know? So,
it's perfectly valid for the medium. Mm-hmm.
I didn't write note by note, though.
Are you guys still into film? Are you still producing filmlets, pieces of cinema?
Yes, there again, let's see. I don't know what's going to happen next, really.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not bad, you know?
Yeah.
And we like to do something, but it takes time.
Yeah. Should try to think about videotape as opposed to film, though, just as a suggestion.
Oh, yes, you're just discussing that, in fact.
Because it struck me that it's very similar to doing the play, you know, like as opposed to being in a studio. I mean, the play, there are fleeting moments of
and it's less expensive and all that, isn't it?
Yeah, immediate feedback, you know. You know what you're getting, and you can do it over and over, or you can erase it or whatever. It's great.
Yeah, you know, the film media is so old-fashioned in a way, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know how people can stand it, you know? That's why, like, John and I, one thing we have in common is, like, we're very quick people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, well, that is, like, a nice way of putting it, but at the same time, we don't have much patience, you know?
All right.
It's that fact, too. So, say if I can't write a song in 2 hours or something, then it just goes in the briefcase and sits there forever.
Yeah, it stays in that suitcase.
And just like that too, you know, we just, it doesn't mean that we sort of, the way we knock off songs are casual or anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sort of like our thoughts of 20 years or something, or emotion of 20 years or something is put in the song, you know?
Right.
So it doesn't mean it. But I mean, anyway, so we do that. So when John and I write it together,
mm-hmm.
you should see it. We don't even have time to smoke a cigarette. When I'm smoking, he'd be writing, you know, coming up with another line or something.
That's good, that's good.
Yeah, it's like that. And it, when I do it by myself, or when he does it by himself, you know, it's a bit more enjoyable because then, you know, you smoke and just think a little and
right.
drink coffee or something, you know. But so we were saying, the film media is a bit too slow for us.
Right.
And so all those sort of, what you call, films that we make, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people think that it's, well, avant-garde in the world, but I don't know what, you know, freak show. But anyway,
freak, we'll say that.
Freak, no. But anyway, you know, whatever that we did, the reason why we did it in that form is because we feel an immediate, so we believe in immediate communication, you know,
mm-hmm.
instant communication or something, and that was the closest form that we can take from that point of view too.
Right.
You know, like I respect Kubrick for, you know, using four years or something to
right.
to make a film, you know.
Yeah.
And the way he does it, you know, he has to write, probably has a script or something, though probably he wouldn't, you know, not stick to the script so much, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the setting and all that is, you know,
it's impeccable, yeah, right.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah. But that's cool. That's the way his mind goes, you know. Is
right, right, but John and I could never do that, you see.
Yeah. That sounds very familiar.
neither in music or in films or, you know, anything, book or anything, you know.
Yeah.
We have a way of working. So, usually when John and I'm producing music, the only argument we have, you know, because our taste is sort of very similar,
mm-hmm.
almost amazingly similar.
Mm-hmm.
But when we fight, you know, we fight like crazy over something. But usually it's about, why not let it go at this, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of doing it over again.
Yeah, which takes away... It takes away from the immediacy of it if you have to go do it over again, you know.
You know, and so if I'm saying, well, let's put another track of this and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, look, that's not necessary. I mean, why is it necessary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then if he starts with Yoko, you better put a string on, you know. Let's put an orchestra on, you know. And he says, why should we, you know? And it goes into that. That's the only kind of fight we have. So we must be basically sort of, I don't know, lazy or I don't know what it is.
Well, no, I don't, you know, like I said, let's call it free. Immediate.
Right, right, you know, it's not sort of, not only that we believe in instant communication
mm-hmm.
on principle, you know, and it's an age of instant communication and all that, but...
Thus, like we're talking on the phone instead of mailing a letter to each other or something.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, it's in our character, you know.
Yeah.
To do that one.
There's more, and at least I hope, it seems that there are more and more people that are getting that kind of character that today that, you know, let's, instead of putting it off and having a meeting about it, let's get it over with, let's do it, let's experience it, which I think is good. Thusly, a lot of things get accepted a lot sooner, and then You know, just imagine how interminably slow things would be if...
If you don't believe in things like, you know, how people believe in art being sort of eternal and, you know, that bit about listening to Beethoven music now, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think, well, look, we'll write it so maybe 200 years later we'll communicate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's sort of like, 200 years later, there'll be somebody else who'll be writing it, you know,
right.
For them. And if there isn't anybody who's writing, it's a problem, you know.
Yeah, right.
If they have to listen to us, then, you know.
Sure. Another small little sidetrack. If you're interested at all in that last guide, the January issue, there's a dumb little one-act play that we wrote. And we asked the readers of the guide and the listeners to try it out. So read it if it turns you on. Try it out.
Oh, great!
And send us a tape. We'd like to hear it.
Okay.
We've gotten some really strange ones. If you're interested, we'll send you a bunch of them. As a matter of fact, we were thinking of putting together some air checks and sending them to you.
Some what?
Air checks. We'd tape the show for you.
Mm-hmm.
And. Any other unusual oddities that we may want to communicate? Who knows? Maybe it'll.
I think it's really nice to hear that, you know, you're trying to do things that sort of different, you know.
So well, it's got to be that way.
Right, right. I agree with you. You know, and but you know, there again, we're very naive. You know, we think that we're communicating instantly all the time. You know.
Yeah, right.
I even had a record come. You know, I set up a record company without any capital or no, nothing, just a name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to register. Called Instant Records in Japan, you know, long time ago. So I really, you know, like, but, so Joe and I always think, oh, we're, you know, instant communication and all that. But then, you know, we're naive about it. Like, the film that we made called Imagine, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, you know, we sort of used a kind of new form, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very excited about it all, and saying, this is real instant communication, and people are ready for it and everything. And that was 1971,
mm-hmm.
And when we made it. And it's shown now, just now, at Whitney Museum or something, but people are still not ready for it, you know. They're getting terrible reviews.
It still takes a long time. God.
So maybe we have to wait 200 years.
Well, you know, we don't have to, but maybe the people that are going to get turned on by it are going to be 200 years from now or something.
Yeah.
What the hell, we'll be on to something else tomorrow.
You don't know what. You know, it's a completely new world then, you know.
Yeah. Yesterday
it had sort of antique value.
Right. See it in the Salvation Army store next week.
Right.
Neat.
Yes, okay. Well, do you want to ask sort of like a last question?
Sure. Let me see if I can think of a good one. I don't. We've really kind of gone through a whole lot, which I think is kind of neat. Why don't I just say that it's been great, you know, to have the opportunity to talk with you.
That's very nice. That's very nice of me too. You see, I'm coming to a point that I'm a bit more relaxed now. First, I was completely frightened, you know.
Yeah, so was I.
No. What I mean is not this. Well, I mean, every situation
in general
you get into, you know, it's frightening.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
When I was caught into this Beatlemania thing, you know.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I was getting into. It's like you fall in love with somebody, and it's beautiful, you know,
mm-hmm.
And you forget about everything, and you get married, and next morning you find that your mother-in-law was sitting there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, in my case, it was the whole world that was mother-in-law, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
must have been a shock.
It was the shock of my life.
Really?
And then I went through a period, well, I wouldn't say I went through a period, I think, I was operating or feeling many different levels, but there was one level where I was thinking,
I should be careful of what I say, you know?
Yeah, right, and who I talk to.
And now I'm daring myself not to be careful in a way.
Yeah.
Because we are human, and, you know, if you can't accept us as human, then, you know,
right.
What the hell, you know?
Yeah, you've got to get stimulated by other humans.
Yeah.
Neat. So you're out of that.
I hope so.
Good. Maybe approximately infinite universe is the first overt step, huh?
Yeah, I hope so. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
Yes, and maybe in a few days you'll be getting some junk from us.
And yeah, right. And I'd like to send my love and our love, brother John, and my love to the sisters and brothers, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.